you go ahead and keep that message, beloved. I don't know how you go ahead and study that one real good, all right? And I'm going to ask you, if you have your Bibles while you're standing, you could turn to the book of Colossians. And so we're going to read this, and then we'll sit down. And bear with me, I'm just taking a step of faith tonight because I wanted to share this with the brothers in the home. Where's the West Covina Manso mat? You guys in the house? And we were going to, this morning, we're supposed to have a little devotion, and then the schedule got away from us, and we had to get moving. But so I felt like this bullet didn't get to come out. Amen. So it's still in the chamber, so I got to let it out tonight. Is that all right? And the title of the message tonight is Nice Guys Finish Last. Nice Guys Finish Last. And I hope it all makes sense at the end. Amen. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to start reading in verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now, someone say yet now, he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Someone say through death. To present. Someone say to present. You holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Wow, it's heavy. Verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached over every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, became a minister. Amen. God bless his word tonight. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Now, there's a lot here in this passage of scripture that I don't have time to really break it all down. And I don't want to go off on too many rabbit trails tonight. But how many love God's word? And as you take time, and hopefully you maybe tomorrow morning, with a cup of coffee, right, or you know, whatever your thing is, like, you know, apple cider vinegar. I don't know what you drink. Come on, somebody, right? I just hope you ain't drinking a Pisto. That's all, amen. Come on, right? And then so whatever your thing is, you know, you got your coffee, and you're sitting down in the morning. I hope you go back to the book of Colossians and you read it. And as you read from even the passages that we read tonight, the scriptures that we read, you see that what he's talking about what Jesus did for us. And that's why I had you repeat those phrases that we repeated, because it's really important that we catch that you were bought at a price. Who's free here tonight? Come on, who's got victory here tonight? Well, I want you to know that your freedom and your victory, it cost. The road to victory, it's paved in blood. The road to victory, it's paved in blood, but it's not your blood, and it's not my blood, and it's not your pastor's blood. It's the blood of Jesus, and it was the cross of Calvary. It was the cross, man. That was the key that fit in the door. When no other key would open the door, the cross fit right in, and it opened up the door, beloved, and that became the way for us. It was the cross. It wasn't the program. It wasn't the church. It wasn't, you know, the skills of the preacher. Man, it was the blood of Jesus. It was the blood of Jesus. It said it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. He's talking about Jesus. And by him to reconcile all things to himself. He reconciled. And it says, through the blood of the cross, he got us back. Because it's sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from God. That's why we have to be very important not to take out our little eraser and start erasing things we didn't write. Well, I'm not sure. It's not that big of a deal. Who doesn't sin a little, right? And we want to justify our little ways, our little areas. Let me tell you something, beloved. I'm not throwing stones. I'm not up here like if I, I'm a sin-free individual. We all fall short. We know that. You know? I'm not here to throw stones at nobody, but I'm also here to say let's not be comfortable with our sin. And let's not justify it and make excuses for it. Right? We have to recognize if it wasn't a big deal, Jesus wouldn't have to go to the cross. Right? Jesus wouldn't have to go. Yes, he's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. But it says that through the blood of the cross, he reconciled us. He brought us back. He closed the gap. In verse 21, it says, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works." Who's that describing? Come on, come clean, dirty. Where you at? Who's that describing? Some wicked worker in the house tonight. Where you at? He says, "You were once alienated and enemies in your mind, working those wicked works." I love that little phrase, but it says, yet now, I used to be bound and lost and unforgivable and twisted and forgotten. Yet now, through the blood of Jesus, it's a different story. It's a different story. Listen, that way it may have been my story started as someone that was in bondage and addicted and afflicted. Yet now, because of the blood of Jesus, it's a different story. He says, yet now, he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Why? To present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Gosh. He said, why? So that he could present. Why did God do all that? Because it was the only way. No other sacrifice would do. There wasn't a lamb pure enough. There wasn't a goat big enough. There wasn't an altar on fire enough. I'm sorry, right? It took Jesus Christ, the Son, the only begotten Son, the Lamb of God, hallelujah. And he came and he paid the price for us. Why? To present us. Huh? To present us. That's heavy. In the sight of the Father, that means, man, you and I, man, when we stand before God clean and forgiven and washed. I know it's hard to really get some for some of us. That's why we're not that grateful yet. We're not that because you haven't really realized the fullness of really what that means. And sometimes because we have a hard time forgiving people and forgetting, so we feel like, well, if I can't do it, then how does God do it? Listen, you're not God, and I'm grateful for it. And I'm glad about it. God ain't like you. I'm glad about it. And he ain't like me, and I'm glad about it. His ways are not my ways. I said his ways are not my ways. And even though I have a hard time forgiving and forgetting, God has, when he looks down at me, he does no longer see the sins and the mistakes and all the junk that I brought upon my life. But that when he looks down at me, what does the Bible say? It says that he to present me holy, blameless, and above reproach. My gosh, Jesus did that for us so that we could stand before the Father holy, blameless, and above reproach. Let me say that one more time. Picture yourself standing before the Lord. Some of us haven't forgiven ourselves. We still carry those things. And man, that's why the devil, he's a liar. Listen, the devil's a liar. Man, the devil's a liar. And he's the accuser of the brethren. And he sticks up his crooked little sulfur-smelling finger, and he wants to wave it in the face of the children of God and say, yeah, you're still there. You're still no, devil, I'm holy and blameless and above reproach. Because of my righteousness? No, because of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what your past says. It doesn't matter what other people say. The Bible says. Come on now. The Bible. Someone say the Bible says. In verse 23, and this is a scripture that I want to bring your attention to. It starts off with the biggest, littlest word you ever see in your life. That word is if. It's the biggest, littlest word you'll ever see. Did you know that if is actually even considered a legal word? Because it's like a binding word. If connects you to that. You know what I see the word if is? If is like the hinge on a door. If is, it's the hinge. You never see it, you never think about it, but boy, is it important. If the hinge is what connects the door to the building. If is what connects you to the promise. If is what connects you to everything we just read. See, you notice in this chapter, he goes on and on talking about the blood and Jesus and how we were reconciled and all this good stuff and how we're holy and blameless before the Father. But then in verse 23, he says, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. Someone say if. Now, you know, there's some people that would tell you, no, beloved, listen, you know, you just give your life to Jesus, you say that magical prayer one time in your life. And it's like hocus pocus, you're forever saved. How many know that's not true? You're not just going to say the prayer one time and then you don't have to worry about nothing no more. You go on living and, man, I'm just saved. Well, I got saved once and I'm always saved now and I don't got to worry about it. I would tell you that's not true. And clearly, we see right here in the Bible, he say, listen, this is what I did. God's telling you, this is what I did. I sent my son. I provided a door. I brought the key, the cross, that would set you free. This is what I did. This is what my son did. And he goes, this is what you need to do if. If. Right? If indeed you continue in the faith. The fact that it says if you continue in the faith, it presupposes that you could stop. If it's saying that, yo, you got to continue, that means some haven't. And that means that they're not. But if you do, if you continue in the faith, and if you stay grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away. The fact that it says moved away, again, it presupposes that you can be moved away. It's what the Bible says. It says if we continue, if we're grounded, steadfast, then we are partakers if connects us to the promise. Can I hear someone say, praise the Lord? Now, this verse that we're reading right here, there's a lot of really good verses I want to read to you. And the reason why I'm reading these verses is because I was sharing with the brothers that, you know, I believe this. I believe that every man, and I was working with men, so I'm talking to the men, but really every believer, any believers who believes in, believe, right? Every believer has to come to the place where they just settle in their heart that I don't care what. I'm serving the Lord. Come on, somebody. You got to get there, man. The sooner you get there, the sooner you break through to the next. You got to get to the place where you say, you know what? It doesn't matter. I don't care what. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter who falls. It doesn't matter who dies. It doesn't matter what goes on. It doesn't matter what I lose. It doesn't matter because I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm not going anywhere. And there's going to be times I'm up and there's going to be times I'm down. There's going to be times I'm like this. That feels good, huh? That's like automatic. You don't even plan on doing that. It's like, oh! Did you know that's a universal sign of victory? Every language, every culture, everybody, we wait for home runs. I don't know what they wait for in Baghdad or Korea. I don't know what other cultures do. All I know is what we may not have the same ball in common. We may not have the same word for a goal or a point. But one thing we do have in common is we know what it feels like to win. And listen, there's times when we're like that in the spirit. Oh, right? And then there's times when the Nationals beat us and we get knocked out of the... Anyways, that's another sermon. Amen? I told the brothers, if you look back at my journey, you're going to notice that there's some spots where you see a line in the sand. Because those are the seasons that I was dragging my sword, man. But you know what? I had a lot of seasons where I was on the horse, boy. Ah! Head hunting, huh? Bunch of demon heads tied up on the side of my horse. Like that. Devil blood straight across my face like that. Ah! But then there were seasons I was like, let me tell you something though. My commitment to Jesus has nothing to do whether I'm like this or like this. Because I could be up or I could be down. I could be high. I could be low. I could be in abundance. It doesn't matter. I come to the place where I said, that's the line. I'm staying with God. That's it, man. I'm staying with the Lord. That's why, you know why I feel that heart? I feel that heart. When the psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Man, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to have the riches, have this, and no, we don't want to sell out on the Lord. I've seen good brothers sell out on the Lord because somebody did this to them. I've seen good brothers sell out on the Lord because somebody offered them a paycheck. You know? With a little bit of money at them and through the, you know. You know, we all have to come to the place where we say, you know what? I'm serving God no matter what. Come on, are you hearing me tonight? Who's there? Who says that, man? That's me, Pastor. You're talking my language, man. That's where I'm at. And I believe there's a lot of believers, though, that need to get to that. We're like right there, like, you're like that one. Like, there's the line. You're like. And you get excited. You run up to it. And you're like. Somebody's got to take the plunge, baby boy. We got to just take the plunge. We serve a good and faithful God. There is nothing too hard. Let me tell you something. God is faithful. I was talking to some of the brothers on the way over here, and I was just telling them a little bit about my journey. I said, you know what I'm learning? You know what I'm learning in this journey? That you have to wait on God. For a long time, I felt like God, I'm going to pastor a church one day. I was like 18 years old when I felt that way. 22, 32, 42. Oh, God, please, Lord, quick. All these years went by. You know, I was at the training center. I was like, I should go start a church. I'll take the whole UTC with me. We'll blow it up. We'll do it big. But no, the pastor was like, oh, no, hold on, brother. You know, you're helping me with the world right here, brother. You go pastor a little church. What are you going to do? We're doing it in the world. Okay, pastor. And as it wasn't God's time, I had to wait on God. You know? I had to wait on God. Because this is God's show. You know, we got to wait on Him. You know what I learned? That we got to wait on God. Sometimes we rush ahead. We start making moves and what we think is good and what makes sense to us. And then we ask God to bless our mess. God. Wait on God. It's not easy. But we got to wait on Him. You know what you do after you wait on Him? After the waiting is the watching. You wait on God, but then you're watching. Some people say, oh, I'm waiting on God, but they're not even paying attention. Well, I'm waiting on God, like, right? I'm waiting, but I'm watching. Like, there it is. That's the door, man. That's him. That's his voice. He's speaking. He's moving. He's going before me. He's open. Right? And then after the watching, then you got to be willing. You got to be willing. We're waiting. We're watching. And then you got to be willing. So when that door opens, you step through it. Some people, sometimes that means letting go. I heard someone say you can't discover new lands unless you have courage to lose sight of the shore. You'll never discover new lands unless you have the courage to lose sight of the shore. You know, sometimes we have to be willing to step out. You know, we took a step of faith to start the church. And Pastor Sunny and Sister Julie, I love them so much. They just were so graceful with us and allowed me to serve there at the corporate office. And I had a salary. I felt like a little executive, right? I had a little corner office right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. I had my coffee. The pastor's coming. How you doing, Pastor? See, the part of the world we'll be taking today is automation. So gracious, man. So gracious. You know, man, blessed, highly favored, right? But something was stirring, and there had to be that willingness. And let me tell you something. We are in the last days. God is going to begin to stir some of you up. He said, hold on now. I'm comfortable with this. Hold on now. I had my own way this story ends. And God says, oh, no, my friend. I want to do something more. How many know that God has great plans for Victory Outreach Pomona? Somebody clap like you believe that tonight. Every time I drive through Pomona, I think about this church, and I say, thank God he put Victory Outreach Pomona right here, because how many know there's a need? There is a need in the city. And all it takes is for everybody to start locking in on the same channel. Walkie-talkies are no good unless everybody's on the same channel. But the minute everybody starts turning to the same channel, watch out. Now we can mobilize and communicate. And that's what God's going to start tuning in everybody onto the same channel. And as everybody starts to lock in on the same channel, watch out, because God is going to begin to raise up and anoint his church. I told you guys, nice guys finish last. Amen? Nice guys finish last. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous and be strong. 2 Timothy 4:7, I love this verse. This is Paul, it's a famous scripture. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. James 1:12 says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those that love him. Someone say, till the end. Till the end. This life is but a vapor. The Bible says it appears for a little while, and then, you know. Anybody like a cup of noodles? Can you make me one real quick, please? I'll be in the back in about. No, I'm just kidding. You know, every time I eat a cup of noodle, I think about that verse, because you know the cup of noodle, right? You get the paper, and you just rip it off. No, you pull it halfway. Some of you guys just pull it off. I don't know. Do it right. Pull it halfway. Put the water, right? Put it in the microwave, or you could boil it, put it, whatever, however you get down. And then what do you do after that? You put the fork on it. You roll it, you put the fork, right? Then what do you do after that? Yeah, you got to wait 3 to 5 minutes, partner. Dang. Read the instructions, gosh. No, I'm just kidding. So you put the fork, you let it cook, right? Then what do? Put some tapatio. Give that man a hug. Who said that? Put a little tapatio in there, right? And then the very last thing, you take the fork off, you pull the paper open, and what comes up? Little piece of heaven. The little vapor shoots up. Wow. I'll tell you what, that's one of my favorite parts right there. I'll wait to catch it till I'm like, don't talk to me, hold on, right? Dad, hold on! And it just hits you, you know, like, and it's a great moment. But it's gone like that. Don't bank too much on the moment. Your life is a moment, my friend. It's a moment. How many friends have you buried this year? How many loved ones have passed? How many, some young, some unexpected, some, but listen, life is temporary. Life is temporary. Till the end, we want to go with Jesus, right? Now, this is my message to you, and this is what the thought I want to leave you with. Nice guys finish last. Early on as a baby Christian, I realized that I could cheat if I wanted to. I could fake the funk if I wanted to. Yeah, that's my choice. God gave me choice. I could play it off if I wanted to. But in the end, where's that going to get me? And you know, there's that saying, oh, nice guys finish last. And poor, there's some young guys that go through changes, guys that they're taught better than that. They know better than that. They were raised right. They had a good mama. Where are the mamas at? Taught them right. But then they look around and they see everybody else getting over and they're doing what they want. And they get all the chicks. Hey, what's up, bro? Yeah. And they're, oh, man, this guy, he don't pay his tithes. He's using his money to buy Jordans. I'm over here paying my tithes. I don't have to wear pro wings. What's up with that? And there's some times that you're doing the right thing. You're trying to stay loyal to God. You're trying to honor God. You're trying to live by the Bible. You're trying to do what's right. You're trying to be committed. You're trying to be here every night. How many times, how many know sometimes it gets a little hard? And that's when the devil comes in and he wants to lie and tell his lies and try to discourage people. And then say, man, listen, nice guys finish last. I came here tonight to encourage you. I said, I came here tonight to encourage you. I don't know where you're at in your walk with God, but I know that God is close to you and I tonight. God is close to the faithful. God is close to the committed. God is close to the giver. God is close to the Timothys. God is close to the workers. God is close to the leaders. God is close. It doesn't matter if other people look like they're winning. It doesn't matter if in the natural you look like you're losing. You know how many times I felt like I was losing? And I looked at other guys that we all started around the same time, and they were like, forget this. I'm going to work. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get. And then, listen, I've been doing this long enough to know now, looking back, oh, that didn't work. They jumped ship, took the girl, jumped ship, took the job, jumped ship, did it their way. Chose their pride instead of their humility. Well, no, I bet. How many know some guys get real prideful? And then they rob themselves. But some guys catch it. I thank God in Victory Outreach we have so many examples. So many great men and women that we could look at that just have honored and laid down their lives and said, man, the way the oil ran down the beard of Aaron, man, I'm going to get under that. I'm going to stay right there. And it doesn't matter if years go by and it looks like I'm in the same place. I know that God is close to me and God is watching me and God is able to bless me. I want you to know that we serve a faithful God. And it's crazy. We have to remember how the kingdom of God works. Sometimes we're in the rat race and we look around and we feel like we're falling behind. We feel like we're losing. We feel like we're not gaining ground. But remember how the kingdom of God works. He says if you want to get, you got to give. If you want to get, you got to give. Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given back to you. He said that there is life in death. There's life and death, Romans 6:8. He says that the first shall be last and the last. Remember how the kingdom works. Nice guys finish last. And they could come to the keyboard. Matthew 20:16. The last shall be first. That's heavy. The devil tells us, oh, you're last. What are you doing? That doesn't make sense. How many know, even coming into the home? I'm so blessed to have the men's home with me right now. What a blessing it's been. Man. And I get to see men come in. I get to see brothers come in, different ages, different situations. And I know probably their natural mind tells, all right, brother, this is where you're going to be sleeping. And they're like, amen. Huh? And sometimes a natural mind kicks in, like, man, what am I
doing over here? What am I over here with all these guys? And they tell me when to shower. They tell me when to... Where are the graduates at? Come on, somebody. And though in the natural, it may seem like we're losing, but how many know we're gaining? We're gaining. We serve a faithful God. It's not about material things, but if I could brag on Jesus a little bit, right before we started the church, I got blessed with a beautiful car. Matter of fact, I drove it over here tonight. And she even said, like, hey, nice car, remember? And I high-fived the Lord, thank you. No, I just kind of did that. I said, thank you, and I looked at the Lord. God gave me that car, man. And you know what? I've been riding humble for a long time. I never talk about it. I would always park like two blocks down. I saw the pastors rolling up. My car's so loud, I didn't want to disrupt the service. I'd park two blocks away. They're like, is that a tractor? I didn't know tractors could come down at 9 at night. And God gave me this beautiful car, man, the desires of my heart, like literally. I even stop and look at it like, I just got to be careful not to covet it, right? But I'm like, look at God. He gave me this beautiful car. He gave me the privilege to have men living in my house. He gave me the privilege of pastoring a church. Not just pastoring a church, but pastoring a Victory Outreach church. Come on, somebody. There's a difference right there. What can I say, man? God has been good to this. That's faithful. Over 20 years, you know? I know I only look 25. You're like, how is that possible? But for over 20 years, man, God has been faithful. I'm walking in it right now. I'm walking in that one day. I'm walking in those tears that I cried right here as God was showing me. And I'm walking in it right now. God is faithful. Says you want to get, you gotta give. You wanna be first, you gotta be last. You want life, death. Right? We're dead in the things of Christ. Says you wanna be strong, you gotta be weak. You want a weak, then I'm strong. Amen. Praise the Lord. Someone say till the end. Come on, someone say, till the end. Stand with me here tonight. And the Word of God has a way of just watering our souls, amen? It's truly, it's the bread of life. It's the bread of life, and we'll hear God's Word, and God, it goes out and hits good soil. Something happens. A young lady asked me last night, you know, my baby, I read the Bible to him. Do you think that's good? I said, yes. Read the Bible to him. She goes, even though he doesn't understand it, I said, the Bible says that his word doesn't return void. So the word's going in, I believe it's going to have an effect. You know, just read it over him. The word goes in and lands a good soil, something happens. Amen, something happens. You know, sometimes along the way, we get a little discouraged. We get confused. Sometimes we get stuck. Sometimes we slow down. And then nights like tonight, we said, man, I'm going to charge back in. I want the faith. I want the passion. I want the commitment that I had in my first year saved. Huh? I want to wait on his will. I want to watch for the doors. And I want to be willing to step when he shows them to me. How about you here tonight? Amen. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes.